Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Once again, it's Adam Lepp here on WWGH Radio, the talking place, and we're going to be talking about good, fun stuff. Giggle a few times, and if you want to utter a four-letter word at your listening device, that's fine, because you're probably not going to agree with everything you hear, but that's all part of the fun. We have our official presidentologist and political commentator extraordinaire, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, on the line with me, where L stands for lots of knowledge and, of course, laughs. The program will make its debut on October 10th, which is sort of a holiday. We'll talk about that first. But it's going to be such a good program, we're going to repeat it a few times. So if you're hearing this program on a day other than the 10th of October, and we're talking about October 10th stuff, well, don't get upset or anything. It just means we're making an encore presentation, because it'll just be so good. So as we enter the middle of the month, known for Halloween and a few other things, and approach the election, how are you today there in out there in warm, sunny Florida, Ron?
Yeah, good morning. Everything is fine here. How are things going in Ohio?
Well, acceptable and slightly irrespectable. We had a light frost over the weekend in Marion and in Virons, but, you know, not really winter coat weather, but certainly.
Yeah, well, this week, suddenly the temperature went down about 5 degrees, so the high is now like 85, not 90.
Oh, my, 85 degrees. Still swimsuit weather where I come from. Ron is the author of a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read. Read it daily. It won't take you more than 2 minutes to peruse. You might agree, you might disagree, and many times it's not really controversial or slanted one way or the other. It's just about presidential history and other fascinating things that we share in the legacy of this great country, or as part of the legacy of this great country. In fact, the greatest country in the universe, the United States of America. Now, Ron, on the 10th of October is a holiday that's not one of the major holidays like Christmas or Labor Day, but I guess a kind of a minor holiday unless you work
for
the
post offices are closed and the banks are closed.
Yeah. You don't work for the post office or a bank, you're probably working anyway. The stock market's open. I think the bond market is closed or closing early, so that's kind of complicated. But again, the mailman or mailwoman is getting a day off, and goodness sakes, they're hardworking, so I'm sure that's well-deserved. We talked about the greatest country in the universe, Ron. You probably agree with me about that, but certainly we have our issues here at the United States, like every country does.
Yes.
You know, when you and I went to school back in the Stone Ages, we read, we heard...
In the last century.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. In fact, the city just south of Marion, the second largest city in the Midwest... I believe it's the third largest capital city in the United States. I'm really into that geographical stuff. It's named after Christopher Columbus, although some people want to change it to Flavortown. I don't know about that. We're not going to comment on that. But anyway, Ron.
Flavortown?
People are offended by Christopher Columbus, and we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, but where did they get that other name? I'm not aware of that.
Well, there's a good restaurant scene here, so, and I I like food, so, you know, Flavortown, I don't know. I'm more for the tradition. And you go one state north of Florida is, I believe, the second largest Columbus. That is the one in Georgia. And actually, many states have a Columbus. But again, this is the big one. But anyway, certainly Columbus, Christopher, that is, not the city, has come a bit out of favor in the last generation. People.
Well, we've learned a lot about what he did that we didn't know about earlier, that he caused a lot. Caused the death of a lot of Native Americans. Apparently he did. You know, I'm not an expert on Columbus, honestly, but he does seem to have fallen into disrepute, I guess is the word, yeah.
And people either don't celebrate Columbus Day, they protest it, or they celebrate instead Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes.
Now, in terms of historical characters, Ron, we've discussed this in the past. If we were to take every person that we associate with in the legacy of this country, starting with George Washington And I was thinking with the World Series here, or coming, World Series coming at least, many, many famous athletes. Ty Cobb is always on that list as obviously a great player. You know, Pete Rose, that's another one. But let's look at Ty Cobb because that's a player from before our time. We could find something objectionable pretty much about all these people. People have protested about Washington and Jefferson. You know, one minute, Washington's the father of our country. Next minute, he was a slave owner. And Jefferson...
Well, I teach about all these, the first 12 presidents, none of them are slave owners, and I do discuss it, but I also point out the contributions they made. So it's a complex issue.
Yeah, just like with Ty Cobb. And then I've heard, these stories about what a terrible racist he was aren't really true.
From what I gather.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm not that old. Pete Rose, that's another that's something else entirely.
Well, Pete Rose was a gambler.
Right.
Got him into trouble. I still think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, though, honestly.
But in terms of Washington, this is your expertise, Ron, as you are. Your middle name is U.S. presidential knowledge, and again, I've coined the term presidentologist. Even before Donald Trump started making up words, I made up my own words.
Yes,
we like the word too. Jokes aside, I think it's a fitting term. But anyway, Ron, yes, Washington owned slaves. He was the father of our country. He was a general. Thomas Jefferson apparently with his slave Sally Hemings, I believe they had several
children with her.
Several kids, and there are thousands of grandchildren of multiple levels, great-great-great-great-grandchildren that we share this great land with. And so these people were not saints. They were presidents and people involved in establishing this great country. Well, of course, standards were different, including sexism, where it says all men are created equal. We call them our founding fathers. You don't really hear much about our founding mothers, and that's a shame. We've evolved into where that has changed. But we could, again, Ron, we could take every historical character, again, Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, many of them, even some people say Lincoln, maybe our greatest president, but, he wasn't perfect. We've talked about that. But where do we draw the line? Do we say that Christopher Columbus people say he's a murderer, that he took land. He was involved in taking land without just cause. Or was he a settler in land that was wanting to be settled? Where is that line drawn?
It's the middle. I wanted to bring up, it's interesting you're bringing this up now, because there's a new book out about the Holocaust and Franklin D. Roosevelt, and it's the harshest yet evaluation of FDR. This author says he's an anti-Semite, which I'm a little shocked by. I don't know if I would go that far. But he really says that FDR didn't like Jews and that he didn't care about Jews. And others have been critical that he didn't do enough. But this particular author is saying he's an anti-Semite. So that's going to change, I think, some people's way of looking at FDR. I always mention about the Holocaust. I mention about other issues like lynchings that he didn't do much about, lynchings of blacks in the South. But the argument would be it's a states' rights issue on that. But it's all these people are very complex, and they all have shortcomings. Even actors and actresses, musicians and all that, they're great, great talents. But boy, when you read about how they were parents, unbelievable how bad they were at parenting and other things, and how many of them had many affairs outside of their marriages and all that. So what it comes down to is human beings, whether they're famous or not famous, all have shortcomings and problems. But the thing is, unless they become well-known, we don't really know their private life. But, people are far from perfect in the way they conduct themselves with other people.
Where do we draw the line? Do we say Columbus? He wasn't this hero. He didn't sail he sailed the ocean blue, but he essentially stole land, murdered people. I mean, I wasn't there, obviously. I don't know. And as a, again, I'm just a goofy chemistry major, so I talk about this as an American, not a historian. And you're not an expert on history from the 1500s, Ron, but you certainly know more than I do, and there are certainly similarities between those times and the modern times that you've lived through and or studied and written theses about. Should Columbus just be tossed to the wayside altogether, or do we realize, as I see it, he wasn't a saint, neither were Washington, Jefferson, or even Lincoln. John Kennedy, we've talked about him and, keeping his pants on. Bill Clinton, he didn't keep his pants on.
Yes.
Yeah, and the shortcomings that all these individuals have. Where is that line drawn? And should we, out of lack of a better term, junk Columbus Day? And should we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day? Or let me ask you, Ron, as a man, you know, what do you celebrate? Do you celebrate Columbus Day? Do you? I understand.
I mean, anything on that. That's open sense. I do think there's importance to bring up the issue of Indigenous people, but I would not wipe Columbus from history any more than I would wipe all these other people, like people trying to remove statues and all that of presidents. I don't agree with that. The thing is, I think we have to teach both sides, the good and the bad of these people. So we talk about the bad stuff about Columbus, but also the good stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's something where you and I agree.
And that's what I do with presidents. I give the plus and the minus. I definitely do both sides. I always say, on this president, this was good, but many people are critical of him in other ways. I always try to give a balanced presentation. Yeah,
I mean, there is a line drawn. The mentioning, isn't it, for example, illegal to name a child Adolf in Germany? I think we talked about that, and I think
I'm not sure.
People
that's
aren't naming
America,
their
though.
Yeah, they aren't naming their kids Adolf anymore, and I understand that. And it's a shame, as there have been many good people named Adolf, but understanding the circumstances, despite you and I both disliking censorship, and I think we both have issues with the woke culture. Maybe I do more than you, but I think we both have some problems with it. I think that's a good stand, because again, that's associated with Hitler. But we're not going to shy away from the name Richard because of Richard Nixon, especially since Nixon was considered probably one of our greatest presidents before he couldn't keep his nose clean. So, yeah, there are places where you draw the line. And Hitler is one thing. But some of these other issues, I think, and other people and what they've done, I really think it's in a different league. And not that I feel like I'm really qualified to talk about it, but, as an American, as somebody who's not going to shy away from an opinion, there are some differences. And I would say, Ron, you and I probably agree on Columbus Day. I think the fact that settlers arrived here, regardless of what they may have done, because we weren't around at those times, we need to celebrate it, and also understand that things were different. It doesn't mean it was right. It doesn't mean it was right that we didn't have any founding mothers during the Revolutionary War. It wasn't right that we had slavery, but we can't just discount the great accomplishments of all these people.
That's exactly, I would agree, yes. But I think we have to discuss both sides. That's the thing. So I think we have to give some attention to Indigenous people, but not wipe out Columbus as if he didn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah, but some people want to do that.
I don't believe in destruction of statues or trying to have people not know the history. But I think you got to give both sides. You can't just glorify Columbus or glorify Washington or Jefferson. You have to talk about the other side and have people consider the alternative ideas.
Yeah, I think on that we're similar. We don't like censorship. We don't like book burning, but that also includes statue destruction. Mm-hmm. And
also worries me, bring up book burning, about people trying to wipe out what libraries can carry as far as materials. That really scares me to death, because that's the kind of thing that Hitler did in Germany with the book burning in 1933 and after. I don't think we should have people be able to close down libraries or limit what they can have in the library, or because some people don't agree with it.
Yeah, and we understand this country was built on independence and opinions. And obviously a line has to be drawn in many cases, but you are allowed to spew forth what you think. And the free speech is one of the basic...
As long as you don't provoke violence while you're doing that. Yeah.
Obviously a lot of it is just do it responsibly. I mean, many things that we do here, I think, are based upon a mentality of, yes, Americans value our freedom, independence, and liberty, but everything you do, every second of your life should be spent responsibly. And I don't see how anybody could disagree with that basic philosophy. And of course, some people want to take that a bit to an extreme. And many times that might be used in a way to control people, but that's probably a whole different discussion altogether. Just looking at what we were talking, Ron, about Germany and naming kids Adolf, because this to me is just kind of fascinating. It says, Germany has some of the strictest laws in Europe on what you can name a child, but while names like apple or tree are outlawed, Adolf is considered acceptable as a historic German name, though staff in some register offices are said to discourage it. And it was a common name before World War II. Well, so the majority of Adolfs in Germany are elderly and named before the end of World War II. Official records show that only 13 children were named Adolf between 2006 and 2013. It's made a minor comeback with 46 since 2013. Minor exception is Austrian footballer Adolf Hutter, born in 1970. He manages Eintracht Frankfurt. I always pronounce German words like that. Strictly the German way because, you know, I took German and it's kind of a fun language to talk, to speak. But he goes by the name AD or ADI. So that's kind of just kind of fascinating. And I think we've talked about or joked about before, Ron, Barack is not a name that really heard much. I never heard of it before, but it's certainly a name that has grown in popularity. And we've joked, is Donald, which is a rather common man's name, is that going to lose popularity? Did Richard suffer after Richard Nixon? I would say it probably has, because I knew a lot of Richards. He was a younger kid. I know a lot of Richards, but they're all older before Watergate.
And everybody looked into that, yeah.
You know, and Ron's an interesting one, because it's an old school name. Most people named Ron are probably middle-aged or older. But did Reagan cause a resurgence? And, you know, if our next governor is DeSantis, that's going to cause some controversy.
He's only in his 40s, Ron DeSantis, yeah.
Yeah, so you never quite know. And I think we would agree John became rather popular. It's still a common name because of John.
What about Barack Obama?
Yeah, John Kennedy.
When he ran for office, instead used his mother's name since his father was there. It could have been Barry Dunham, D-U-N-H-A-M. And I wonder why he didn't choose to be Barry Dunham to us, because it would have made a lot easier life for him than being Barack Obama Jr., you know.
But people could say you're discounting or you're ashamed of your heritage. Now, his middle name is Hussein, and that doesn't have very good connotations. There's King Hussein, but that's not the one I'm referring to. But it is a Hussein and similar names. Hassan is a very common Middle Eastern name.
Yes.
So you have to draw that line,
Barry,
I guess.
I think it would have had easier time in life than Barack.
You know? Yeah. And how you name people.
He chose not to do that.
You know, one thing I joke about is Gay used to be a rather common female name, and you don't meet a lot of females with that name anymore. If you meet them, they're going to be much older. So connotations of names. Even if it's a little sillier, like the one I just mentioned, that's another fascinating study. And you know, Ron, how much I love English and language in general. So we can we can talk about that all day. But bottom line is, though, with the Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day holiday, you know, I think we should celebrate the great diversity of this country every single day. And that's part of the purpose of the Indigenous Peoples celebration.
I think one thing we do have a responsibility is to make sure we do teach about the fact that Native Americans were here and how, in many cases, they suffered horribly. I think, you know, like I talk about the Trail of Tears under Andrew Jackson and Martin Van Buren, and I do talk about the other Indian wars. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I do, and a lot of students have never been exposed to any, and I think it's important. And my oldest son, David, he really promotes that, because his work with the National, you know, with the Conservation Lands Foundation is involved with a lot of areas where there are Native American tribes, and he's informed me there's like 270 tribes in America, and they all have some, you know, some involvement in some territory, but it's a lot of stuff I never really knew. But Native Americans are part of the story, and they've been ignored, so we do need to, you know, give some emphasis to that.
And the whole term Indian, that's a big one here in Ohio with the Cleveland Guardians, formerly the Cleveland Indians, but there are other teams using the word.
That's why I use Native Americans, not Indians.
Using Indian or words that are associated with Indians and logos, such as the Kansas City Chiefs with their logo. So where do we draw the line? And many people still call the Cleveland baseball team the Indians or the tribe. So
it's complicated.
So you talk
you
about
can't please everybody, I guess, but
you know, Any
like trying to have more sensitivity to ethnic groups, I guess.
Any college students listening, you're looking for a topic for your PhD thesis. I think I just gave you about a dozen of them. And you can always continue to study presidents like Ron does, his thesis and his work. His books, they've been about the presidents and the presidential experience. And since I'm always been a presidential person interested in presidential history and tidbits and, of course, humor, we always find something to talk about on this program. We are talking with Dr. Ron Fineman, the official presidentologist and historian, historical commentator, I guess that's the word, of WWGH Radio. And we appreciate him being with us as always. Now, we mentioned, Ron, your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. One thing you and I do agree on is pro-choice. And we agree, I would say, close to 100%. We're not favoring abortion. In fact, I don't think abortion's a very good thing to do. I do think it's the right thing to do in the case of rape, but it's not a form of birth control. However, people make mistakes. Humans aren't perfect. Maybe Donald Trump thinks he's perfect, but, well, I'm not perfect. Ron's not perfect. And just about everybody I know is either not perfect or actually very, very imperfect. And also, I would say from a scientific standpoint, if there is an umbilical cord, the fetus embryo is part of the woman. That's something that I've recently kind of talked about on social media. Certainly, if you want to cause controversy, even if people agree with you, bring up the A word, because that's the biggie, and everybody has an opinion. But as I see it, again, if there's an umbilical cord, it is part of the woman. It isn't the right thing to do if a woman decides she just doesn't want to have a baby. I think giving it up for adoption or some other course of action is the more ethical, humane thing. However, it's her body, and if she wishes to have an abortion, she should be allowed to.
I agree, yes. I don't think it's the job of government to intervene. I think the Supreme Court did a horrible thing in June, and I'm worried about what effect it's going to have in the future, because the midterm elections are coming up, and you know, not all women, of course, are pro-choice, but the question is, there are more women registering to vote than has been normal, and there are always more women voting in all elections than men, but the question is, how much will it affect the result in governorships and in Senate and House races? We don't know. So I just wrote about that yesterday, you know. Will women decide the abortion controversy in the midterm elections? I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be a real problem if we ever get the possibility of a national abortion ban, as Lindsey Graham wants, and others. You know, if they have both houses, the Republicans, the possibility arises they could do that. So it's very worrisome.
So if you folks wanted my opinion on that topic, well, you just got it. That's one cool thing about this program. Adam will spew forth opinions and hints about his opinions throughout the program. So if you weren't aware already what I thought about the A word, well, that was it. You wrote in your blog, as you just mentioned, Ron, for Sunday the 9th, a major question facing the future of women in American society is whether they will vote in sufficient numbers to decide the balance of power in the upcoming midterm elections of 2022. They're divided, but the number of women registering to vote has skyrocketed, and a key factor is the concept of a national abortion ban. Now, the defeat of Roe v. Wade, that is not an actual abortion ban. It just removes almost all the teeth, though, from the idea that
the federal guarantee, yes,
women are guaranteed that right. I mean, if you look in your crystal ball, Ron, what do you think will happen? We have an administration that, I'm hardly a fan of this administration, as you and my listeners know, but certainly I agree with them on this particular issue. But as you also know, we have a trend in this country of the pendulum swinging back and forth. We go conservative, liberal, conservative. That's why I think DeSantis will be the next president. But we shall find out. So is this the time now to firm up some kind of national abortion protection? Or, Ron, what do you think may be the end result 5 or 10 years from now? Is the unthinkable concept of a national abortion ban, or a ban after just a few weeks of pregnancy? I mean, the heartbeat mentality. What does your crystal ball say will happen? Or are you just as confused as I am in terms of what?
Well, I'm confused, but I am worried that we could have a national abortion ban. That's going to cause the death of a lot of women who are going to try to end, you know, bring about an abortion by the back alley way, as we used to call it. And I just think it's wrong. But, you know, the court is so right wing now, and so many judges have been appointed by Trump, and they are so right-wing that I'm really worried. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be really a difficult situation. And it could also lead to further restrictions on interracial marriage and gay marriage and contraceptives. And to me, that's stepping back into what I call the 19th century from the 21st. It's just not acceptable. I'm not very optimistic, but a lot depends, I think, on what happens in this midterm election. And yet I'm just reading today in the Washington Post that apparently the thought is the Senate's going to end up probably 50-50 again. You know, it's going to probably be a split Senate, and that's, you know, it may be that it will be a Democratic Senate then for the next 2 years if it's 50-50, but it's just a Senate that with the House that's probably going to be Republican is going to be very divisive, spending a lot of time, wasting time on trying to impeach Biden, although it's not going to lead to anything, or impeach cabinet members. It just seems like we're going backward, and it's going to be a very, very divisive time right up to the 2024 election. And no idea what's going to happen in 2024, but it looks like very tumultuous, and the danger, as some people say, of civil war, open bloodshed because of gun regulations being taken away. I don't know. It's hard to be optimistic right now.
It sounds a bit scary.
Yes, very much so.
We don't mind the mystery. We
not
like
a lot, yeah. Because it's not the answer. You know, when it's too easy to get guns and too difficult for a woman to have the right to control her own body. I think it's the wrong way to go on both.
In terms of guns, and I think you and I agree mostly on this, my opinion on guns, it kind of wavers. Certainly people should be allowed to hunt. That's something we do in this country. And we do have an overpopulation
of about that, though,
many species.
That's not the issue in my mind.
Right. Yeah. The idea of guns for protection, when is it legally okay to use a gun? Should you be allowed to just use a gun if someone invades your home? Do you have to retreat first? And those laws vary state by state. Now, my understanding is Florida has laws that do allow people to protect themselves, but again, must be done responsibly, as we talked about earlier. Everything you do every second of your life should be done responsibly. And as I see it, you know, to keep your laws off my body, or the libertarian mentality that I have on most issues, if you don't like guns, don't buy one, but understand other people may have them, and you have to protect yourself. And that's where I find myself at an impasse. I don't really know what to think. Certainly, yes, I'm pro-hunting, but again, do it responsibly. The concealed carry laws, safety training, it's another, you know, another topic for a few PhD theses, as I see it. But I just wish, as Americans, we could all get along. That's the bottom line, right, Ron? We should be on the same side, not feel like everything is a cold civil war.
Yeah, but there's so many people unstable where they go around conducting gun massacres. It's so common. It's like nothing new anymore that a number of people get killed by some crazed gunman. And it could happen to anybody, anywhere, anytime. And it's terrifying, you know.
But should people be allowed to protect themselves in case they face an unfortunate situation? And how important is knowledge of gun safety? Should people be required to take a course? And how do you decide what is the guideline for someone who has mental issues that might...
Yeah, and there's a lot of mentally disturbed people that should not come anywhere near weapons, but they do. And then they cause mass murders like we've had so commonly in schools and elsewhere.
Yeah. How are those guidelines set? I don't feel like I'm overly qualified to talk about it, but I do wish we could all get along better and understand.
Yeah, let me ask you, have you ever gone hunting?
A couple times when I was younger. Yeah, I mean, I think, especially where I live, hunting is big, and it's a relaxing sport, and again, it's certainly economical. You catch a deer, you can eat for quite a while. Deer meat and fishing, obviously. Hunting for
fishing, I don't see it.
Rabbits or ducks.
I couldn't imagine killing a deer. I've never done it's Bambi.
Yeah. I mean, it's much of the meat is healthy and not hard to cook. And just the idea that you have, you've caught something and you can put it to a different use, even if it's just hanging.
I cannot imagine living on the frontier and hunting and fishing. I just can't imagine living in the 19th century. I'm glad I'm in the 21st.
But again, it's a hobby. Doesn't mean you have to indulge in it.
No, but I'm saying in the 19th century on the frontier, everybody had to do this in order to live. They didn't have shopping. They didn't have supermarkets.
Well, I'm just glad we have Super Walmart in my neighborhood to take care of that stuff. But yes, and there are different kinds of gun usage. And certainly no matter how you use a gun or other weapon, must be used safely. And what are the requirements that we should have for people to be knowledgeable about these safety precautions, laws, before they use a weapon? It's a very slippery slope for sure, and I certainly wish we could stop all the violence. That's the unfortunate part here. And again,
it becomes so common, nobody even reacts much anymore unless it's a massive
massacre,
but otherwise, no.
And that's unfortunate, and I don't know what to say. I wish we could just all get along. I know I've beaten that into the ground like a broken record, but I really, really do feel that way. So in your blog, Ron, several days ago, you wrote, "Today is the opening day of the Supreme Court term, and it's likely will be the most controversial term in decades, with a solid right-wing tilt of 6 justices. The court seems likely to go against public opinion on many areas of constitutional law." Now, we've kind of talked about or implied several of those: environmental, gay rights, affirmative action, religion, but free speech. That's what, again, something else I talk about multiple times and just did. That's one of the foundations of this great country, something that I think makes this country one of the predominant things that makes this great country what it is. Can they really strike down free speech? Can they stop even a show like this from airing, saying if you don't agree with us, you can't air the program? Where is this line drawn, Ron, in terms of what...
That's going to be decided in these cases that are coming up, yeah. I have no idea, but I'm scared about what the court has become, because now it has a public opinion rating of 25%, the lowest ever since public opinion polls began. And of course, they don't really care about public opinion, but to some extent, I think they should. But particularly Alito and Thomas seem not to have any concern about what people think. They're very arrogant, and it's really sad that they're the oldest members of the court, and they really, I wish they would retire, but they're not doing so, and they're running a reign of terror, I think, on so many issues. They want to go after a lot of things that have come about since the Warren Court of the 1950s and 60s. Chief Justice Earl Warren want to reverse a lot of what's happened, and I don't think that's right.
And we've seen Gorsuch, who is thought of as conservative, as following the letter of the law, not really letting his own opinions interfere, and some of the others, Thomas especially. Not quite the same way, but to me that goes against what they're supposed to do. I don't really understand why the political party or the personal opinions of the justices should matter at all. And that came up with Robert Bork several years ago. And yes, he
1987. Yeah, that's actually quite a while ago now.
Yeah, constitutional scholar, but how is that going to balance against his own very conservative opinions? And again, I think we agreed Gorsuch has done that. It's, well, maybe I don't feel this way, but Americans have diverse opinions. We're a diverse population, so it should be done with what is consistent with the Constitution as well as the general attitude of the USA. But others, Thomas especially and Alito, haven't felt that way, and that's kind of frustrating. And it goes for the liberal justices also. Everybody should, I think, and I think we would agree, put his or her own beliefs aside and look at it from a constitutional perspective, whatever is the best for the people. And if free speech can be shut down or partially shut down, that's all going to go out the window, and that's pretty scary to me.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah.
I get a bit of a chill in my bones when I see that. Well, let's hope again that free speech can be preserved. If you don't agree with the opinions on this program or other programs, you know, again, use your freedom of speech, swear at your listening device, or just turn it off and put something else on. To me, that's a much easier way to go. And again, with things like guns, make a responsible decision. And if you don't feel like you have the maturity or temperament, well, then probably better off not having one or finding an alternative method. Oversimplifying, but I think we can agree on that as Americans. Also, a few days ago, Ron, you wrote in your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, voting rights case about Alabama gerrymandering, a threat to destroy voting rights law.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 has been stripped back a lot since 2013, Shelby County, Alabama versus Holder, and now they might destroy it completely. And that means that people who are of minority background will not have adequate representation in Congress, you know, because they have like 27% of Alabama, I think, is black, but they only have one seat out of eight or something like that. So that's not considered to be fair to the whole idea of representation of people.
Now, we have the slogan, no taxation without representation. And Ron, why don't you explain to us about gerrymandering and what is the logic behind it and can it be stopped?
Gerrymandering started in the 19th century with Governor Elbridge Gerry, who and also was Vice President of the United States, by the way, under James Madison, briefly. He died in office, though, where they were trying to set up state legislative districts that favored the majority party, and it became known as gerrymandering. And that idea developed, and it's become where either party, like in Illinois, the Democrats gerrymandered to favor their party, and in Texas, the Republican Party gerrymandered to favor their party, and same with Florida. Florida, there were four districts that were black, and now there's only two in Florida because of the way the boundary lines have been set up. And I think gerrymandering is something that should not be allowed. It should be a commission that decides and balances everything out and has reasonable districts as far as representation. But gerrymandering has become an abuse and it's out of control. Both parties are engaged in it.
So both sides are guilty. You're not speaking as someone who leans left. Democrats do it also. It goes both ways.
And they have the ability, like in Illinois, yes.
And how do we solve this? Is there an easy solution? Do we put it into a computer and have the computer just decide that?
That's the idea that has been tried in a few cases, but most states, you know, the courts don't rule that way. So the party, it's the majority, has the advantage, and they keep control. And so that's why many state legislatures are dominated by one party over the other, which is not good.
But obviously, black people can live where they wish. And if there's a district that was drawn so as to be very white, it doesn't mean black people can't move there.
True, and also the same thing involves Hispanics and Asians as well, and other groups, yes, and even Native Americans, yes.
I mean, that would be part of the argument saying that it's been exaggerated. And to me, I don't really know how I feel about this. There are things I have strong opinions about. I think it's an issue, but what the solution is or the extent of the problem, I'm not really sure. But I do know that people, regardless of demographic, may live where they wish.
Well, where their work is, actually. So often they can't just pick up and move, though. That's the problem.
Right. There are multiple things in the equation. And again, it's another fascinating study. But I'd like to think that all election results would be accurate, would be fair. And as I've said, I haven't trusted any presidential election since 2000, and that includes ones where the candidate I liked won. I think our system is very broken. How to fix it? Not totally sure. I have a few ideas, but it just seems like it's gotten kind of ridiculous. Why should there be election deniers? You win or you don't win.
Yes, like I wrote, there's so many people on the ballot now that are election deniers. 299 out of 530-something, I think it is. Or 560, whatever, 53%, that's insane.
You wrote in your blog a few days ago, do we want the likes of Herschel Walker, again, the former football player in Georgia, Dr. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Blake Masters in Arizona, like the guy's last name and like Will's first name and sort of his last name, because he's also Adam L., Adam Laxalt in Nevada, good name. Eric Schmidt in Missouri, Don Baldock in New Hampshire, and of course, our listeners are familiar with J.D. Vance in Ohio being added to a legislative body that deserves people who are not election deniers. You know, I just mentioned, Ron, I'm an election denier. I don't know, really. I don't think we'll ever know who won any of these presidential elections since 2000 or many of the local elections. And it is kind of ridiculous. I think you and I would agree that election results are not perfect. And, I mean, who really knows much of the time? But the election denier mentality, that's probably something a little different. And as I say, it doesn't matter if it was a candidate I like or didn't like. Just like with any competition, you want to win fairly. With baseball playoffs and the World Series, no team is going to want to win if it was because of a bad umpire call. You want to win. You want to win fair and square. Otherwise, the win is dirty. And same thing can apply in an election.
Yeah, so, before we go, though, what about Herschel Walker and the controversies around him?
Speaking about sports teams. Well, he's certainly a character, and you know we admire him for speaking his mind. But you know. Whether the mind
he doesn't speak very intelligently, Herschel Walker. That's the problem.
Whether, you know, it's a intelligent mind or not, well, we'll let our listeners decide. Dr. Oz, you know, controversial dude. But I guess that's all part of the fun. And we have a very tight Senate race here between Ryan and Vance, and who knows who's going to win. But we certainly shall find out. You know,
1 month from now, yep.
Just a couple of minutes left in the show here, Ron. Time flies when you have fun, as my mama always said, and she was spot on with that. As we approach the election, any thoughts? Do you think there will be any surprises? Is your crystal ball of anything juicy to tell our listeners about as we approach election day?
Well, according to the Washington Post, it's going to be a 50-50 Senate. I still think there's a good chance the Democrats will gain a few seats, but in the House of Representatives, seems very hard to keep control. So we'll probably have a Republican House and a Democratic Senate, which will mean that the Republicans will not be able to do everything they want to do, but they can still do a lot of what I call damage against Joe Biden, but they can't bring about results because of the Senate. So it'll be more stalemate and gridlock, which is not good. You know,
seems like we've had quite a bit of that. And yeah, it makes for fascinating conversation, but you like to think you can get something done. But, again, does keep talk stations in business. And since we're a talk station, well, I guess that part is cool with me. Ron, thank you again for being with us.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It was great.
Yeah, about 120 seconds left. How's your class going at the university?
The class is going well. I'm up to the 20th century. We're on William Howard Taft and Woodrow Wilson and the Progressive Party of 1912, you know, the Boom Booth Party, the best third party for performance ever, you know, under Theodore Roosevelt. And, you know, the class is going very well.
Well, we're certainly glad to hear that. Also, I heard Ben Sasse was going to resign his political position to become a college president. I think
Yes, he's leaving the Senate to become president of the University of Florida, which already Donald Trump has condemned, by the way, because Sasse is one of those senators who voted to convict Trump of impeachment charges. So he's not happy at all that in his backyard, you know, the same state that Sasse is going to be the president of the University of Florida. But he's very qualified. He has a PhD in history. He was a professor. He was the college president of the small church-related college in Nebraska. And he's a very intelligent guy. But I'm surprised he's not thinking of trying to run for president, because obviously he's giving up that possibility by becoming a college president. So I'm a little surprised at that.
Well, don't put it past him. You know, Hillary said she didn't want to run. DeSantis has said he doesn't want to run. We know he's full of you-know-what, but it's okay.
They all president for 6 months and then resign. I guess he could have then run for president.
They all say that. I don't fault anybody for denying wanting to be president. You got to tease people a little bit. Keep them guessing. Okay, well, I'm glad your class is going well. And
thank you.
Again, your students will learn whenever they sit in the seats with you at the podium. And definitely be a class that they did not regret taking by any means. Thanks again, Dr. Ron Feinman. If you can find his book at a local library like I did about presidential assassinations, you might want to read it because you'll certainly learn something. But also read his blog every day, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.